good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Had a good week. Amen? Jen and I had our anniversary on Friday. And it was 16 years. 16 long... I don't know. I just have to say that. But it's been 16 great years. I will say. God knew what He was doing when He sent her my way. I have an excellent wife. She has to be. To put up with me. This morning is... what do the names of Jesus mean for me? On your list there... Can I have a list? Could I borrow one? Thank you. On your sheet on the back, it has some names of Jesus. This is just a few. Just a few in the Bible. There's Wonderful, Everlasting Father, Alpha, Omega, Good Shepherd, The Door, I Am, Counselor, Prince of Peace, The Branch, The Cornerstone, Desire of the Nations, Emmanuel, Mighty God, Ancient of Days, Bread of Life, Deliverer, Great High Priest. And this morning I want to go through all these together and really expound what they all mean. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is just a few of the many names of our Savior, of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to take a look at a few names this morning and take a look at what they mean. Names are important. One of the first dilemmas that a parent has when we have a baby is what? What are we going to name them? When Jen and I, all four of our kids, they were named months before they were born. I don't know why, but we had a name in mind. And months before, I'd go up to Jennifer and I'd talk to the baby in the stomach. And I'd call them by the name. And so when they were born, it just didn't seem right to call them anything else. I already knew them. I already had them named. But that's the dilemma. What shall we name him or her? They're important. Names have meanings. When we name Gretchen, the meaning of Gretchen is little pearl. She was our little pearl. Jennifer. There's some discrepancy here, but I understand Jen means gracious. It's a fitting name for my lovely, gracious wife. Gracious. Fitting. My name, Ken. Anybody knows what Ken means? It means handsome. Okay? Names have meaning. They're important. Excuse me. I remember my sister, Allison. A few of you know my sister, Allison. They actually lived here for about 2 years. Anybody who knows Allison? And Mark, her husband. Okay. I remember back in 1990 or so, when their first son, Andrew, was born. We were in the U.S. Jennifer and I and Mark and Allison, we were living in the U.S. We were still in school at the time. And we went to visit Mark and Allison in the hospital. Hadn't seen the baby yet. And so we go over to their room, and they had to ask the nurse to bring the baby in. And so they ask, and you know, the McCormick baby, okay. And they bring in this little baby, and me and Jennifer go over to where the baby is, and we're taking a look, and we get a surprise. Because this baby is, you know, blacker than Kenny Josiah. And my sister is white as, and her husband is even whiter. And, you know, something's funny going on here. We didn't know if we should say something or just say, oh, nice baby. You know, what do you say? And finally, Mark, the husband, comes over and says, that's not our baby. And he checks the tags on the cot, and sure enough, that was a different name. So praise the Lord that they had named the baby and that this baby had a name. Beautiful baby, just not theirs. Names made the difference. We take a look at some wild names out there. I wrote down a few names that I think are funny that kind of tickle me. U.S. Secretary of State is named what? Condoleezza. Condoleezza Rice. Thought that was interesting. I don't know what it means. The daughter of Gwyneth Paltrow? Apple. Now, who would do that? Why would you do that? Apple Paltrow. Apple. Hi, I'm Apple. Care for a bite. There's a U.S. downhill skier. Anybody know this funny name? Called Peekaboo. Peekaboo Street. You heard of him? Or her? Is it a him or her? It's a her? Have you heard of her? Odd name. Peekaboo Street. Heard a stupid joke about Peekaboo Street. Peekaboo Street. She gets a job as a nurse working in an intensive care unit. And she has to answer the phone. How does she answer the phone? Peekaboo ICU. Never mind. I'm sorry. There's a professional retired NBA basketball player named World Be Free. Son of David Bowie. Anybody? Very good. Zowie Bowie. I found some interesting names from Frank Zappa. He has three kids. Well, he has more than that, I think, but three with really weird names. One is Diva Muffin. Another son is Dweezil. And a daughter named Moon Unit. Must have been when he was on some things he shouldn't have been on. What about royalty? Who knows the full name of Prince Charles? He has quite a name. It's Prince Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor. I always like to sign your name. Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor. Just call him Prince Charles. It's a name given to the prince. It's a long name. Who could live under such a weight of a name? But he is the Prince of England. And in the Isaiah 9:6, we see the name of another prince. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, the rulership will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, say it with me, Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We have here some names of Jesus Christ. What do they mean for you? What do they mean for you? Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. I thank you for this time of year where we remember, we focus on Christ, on God being sent as a human, as a child. As we take a look at these names, Father, help us to really understand what they mean to us. Lord, I thank you for the lives that you've transformed. And I pray right now for those who are still kind of on the outside looking in. They've heard. They've put off any decisions. I pray, Father, that today you would really grab a hold of their heart through these names. Help them to see you. I pray that they will see you clearly, see your work clearly, and their need for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As Christians, remember that we find forgiveness of sin through the name of Jesus. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. We're told to pray in the name of Jesus. We worship in the name of Jesus. We are to live, die, and have our being in the name of Jesus. Scripture reminds us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So clearly there is something special about this name, about the name of Jesus. We see that in our text this morning. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's take a look at the first one. Wonderful. His name is the reason for my praise. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. This word wonderful has been misused a lot. When we say that Jesus is wonderful, it's not the same as asking someone, how's your cup of tea? Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you. We've misused wonderful. You know what wonderful means? It means full of wonder. Full of wonder. The coming of our Savior, of our Christ, of God in the flesh was full of wonder. It was full of wonder, and we see that. We see the wonder in His virgin birth. We see the wonder in His safety from Herod's slaughter. We see the miracles of His turning water into wine, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, the healing of the sick and leprous, the calming of the sea, the feeding of the 5,000. We've seen that His coming was wonderful, full of wonder. Jesus Christ is indeed wonderful. But no more wondrous miracle has He done than the miracle of His resurrection from the dead for the sins of the world, to redeem you and I, to redeem mankind from sin. He rose from the dead. He saved us from an eternity separated from God in an everlasting hell. He is wonderful. And I want to remind you this morning that He is wonderful regardless of what He does for you. Christians, listen to me. I want to say this very clear. If God never does anything else for you, He is wonderful. If God never blesses you from this day forward till the day you die, He is wonderful. He has given you eternal life, eternity in heaven. And if for some reason God sees fit to never give you another blessing anymore from this day forward, you still need to praise Him because He is wonderful. He's given you life, abundant life. He's given you eternity. He's forgiven your sins. He's cleansed you. And you're going to stand in heaven for eternity praising Him, looking back at your short life on earth and say, that was nothing compared to the joy that He has given us in heaven. If God never does another thing for you, if you have trials and tribulations the rest of your life, and you will have some trials and tribulations, Jesus told us we would. Don't be surprised when it happens. But if you have trials and tribulations the rest of your life, He is still wonderful. So when we say God is good all the time, we mean it. Can you say God is good all the time in the middle of your trial? You should. You should. You should be praising Him. It's a matter of perspective. And you need to keep perspective on eternity. On eternity. But the good news is this. God loves to bless His children. Amen? He loves to bless His children. I love to bless my children. I know God loves to bless us. I love to bless them, to do good things for them. There are times when I know I should not and I cannot. I would be an irresponsible father if all I did was give them things, everything they wanted. You know, what kind of parent, what kind of father gives their child everything that they ever ask for? I'm their dad. I know what's good, what's not good for them. I know what will hurt them, what they need. But I love to bless them. I love Christmas. There's nothing like Christmas Eve night. The kids are excited. They're about to bust. They just can't wait. And it's hard to keep them from trying to peek in their presence. I used to be a peeker. Anybody else? I used to be a peeker. Christmas Eve night, it's just killing me. And, you know, it starts off very small. And I don't want no one to notice. So I just try to peek. And then it rips. And, oh, ripped. Oh, well, it's already ripped. So let's, you know, and you just want to. What a small glimpse. But I love to see my kids get so excited about you know, receiving something, receiving a gift from mom and dad. Now, if we did that every day of the year, they would get spoiled rotten. It would not be good for them. But I love to bless them. I love to watch their faces light up when they see something that they have that they really, really were hoping for. Jesus did many great things, full of wonder. In fact, the Bible says in John 21, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. What we have here is the concentrate version, the condensed version. If everything was written down that he ever did and said, you know, the expression is that the world wouldn't have enough books to hold it. What child is this? He's a child filled with great wonder. He's a child of wonder from heaven that came wrapped in swaddling clothes. Number two, his name is Counselor. His name is the remedy for my problems. Counselor, the remedy for my problems. He's my problem solver. He's the only one in the universe that requires no counsel himself. In him are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, in the States, many people write to a column called Dear Abby. Have you heard of Dear Abby? I don't know what the equivalent is here. But you got a problem? You write to Dear Abby with your issue, with your problem. There was a talk show host I liked to listen to. And her name was Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She had a good deal of common sense, and she was quite harsh and straightforward with people, and it was good to listen to. I really enjoyed her. Maybe you're a Dr. Phil fan. Anybody Dr. Phil fans? No? But Christ and Christ alone is the only one who is able to help and solve your problems, solve the deepest issues of your life. For eternity. God is wonderfully qualified for the job of counselor. He's always available. He has unimaginable insight. He sees the end from the beginning. He has all knowledge. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? And the obvious answer is, no one. No one knows His mind. No one has been His counselor. He is all knowledgeable. So therefore, He has the answer for your and my heart problems. He has the answer for your and my relationship problems. My relational issues. Difficulties. He has the answer for my and your hurting problems. The question is, will you listen to Him? Will you listen to His counsel and use it and take it? I'm still surprised today at the number of Christians who still do not observe His counsel. Something recently just, you know, surprises me again. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But I'm surprised, listen, at the number of Christians who still say or still see nothing wrong, no problem with living together in sexual relations outside of marriage. No problem. Listen to the counsel of God. Listen to His counsel. It's a destructive thing. God is not the party pooper. He's not trying to make your life miserable. He knows us. He knows that it brings hurt. It brings destruction in a life. Ladies, if you give yourself to a man without commitment, you're going to be committing emotional suicide. Emotional suicide. God did not make us to live this way. Listen to the instruction of God. Listen to His instruction. Why is this so important? Why is this important? Why would I be preaching about sex and living outside of marriage? Because I believe it is important to God. I believe that this sin is something particularly destructive. It wrecks lives. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins actually sins against his own soul. You do this, it's going to wreck you. It's going to mess you up. It's going to mess your mind up, mess your relationships up. It's going to mess your families up. It's a mess. And I have tried to pick up pieces of so many people's lives that have not observed the counsel of God and try to put them back together as best we can. And it would be so much better if we listened to the counsel of God to begin with. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're saying, that's really old. We're in the 21st century now. Surely that's not expected of anybody. Maybe you're saying, that's fine in theory, Pastor Ken, but it doesn't work. Did it work for you? And I want you to know it does work. Jen and I work both committed to the counsel of God in this regard. We married, we had not been with anybody else, and we had not been together until we married. Was it easy? No way! No way! To be honest with you, it was difficult. But I praise the Lord all the time that we listened to God and did things His way. It has saved us from a whole lot of issues, heartache, difficulties. It is possible. God's standard isn't some lofty goal of nobody can attain it. It is possible. It is the standard. It's the benchmark. It's something that we should not only aspire to ourselves, but teach. Teach to our kids, our children. Listen to the counselor. He is qualified. Do things His way. Number three, He is the mighty God. His name is the resource for my power. He's the resource of my power. The baby Jesus, who was born in a manger, is not only the Son of God, but He was God the Son. He's God. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. In Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What that's saying is, you look at Christ, you're looking at God. He was God. He was the one who created all things. The God who controls all things. He conducts all things. He is the mighty God. The mighty God. But yet He came as a child, as a baby. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? Mary and Joseph having such a child? You know, what's one of the first things that a baby does, and parents like to do with brand new babies, and they hold out their fingers? You know what the baby does? It's a reaction, I guess. I don't know. They reach and they grip onto something. They always do. You put your finger out and they grip onto it. And they really hold on tight. Can you imagine having the child Jesus putting out your finger and having that hand grab onto your finger? The hand by whom the heavens and the earth were made. The all-powerful, mighty God. And yet, here's this little child just wrapping around your finger. What does this power mean to you and I? Ephesians 1 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know His incomparably great power for us who believe. This power. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You know what this is saying? This is saying that God's power is available for us who believe in Him. His power for living, His power for transforming lives, His power for taking your life and making a new creation out of it, His power for restoring you, restoring relationships. The power is there. The same power that He used when He raised Christ from the dead, it says. It's available. The power can change your life. That power can give you strength. But you must be plugged into it. You must be plugged into it. Are you plugged into that power? Are you living life on your own power? Where does your strength and power come from? Wonderful. The Counselor. The Mighty God. Number four, the Everlasting Father. His name is therefore the refuge for my troubles. Father can fix anything. My kids think Dad can do anything. It's true. That's true, they think that. They think Dad can do anything. That's a good thing. Nobody's stronger than Dad. Nobody's smarter than Dad. They have a problem, Dad will fix it. They have something broken, take it to Dad. Dad will fix it. He's the Everlasting Father. As a father, you know, I'm concerned with my children's future. I clothe them. I sacrifice. I sacrifice to give them an education. They get life insurance. If something bad happens and I die, I want to know that they're taken care of and Jen taken care of. God also cares for your future. But not just for this life. Everlasting. Everlasting life. Because He's the Everlasting Father, He's also the giver of everlasting life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal, everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the Father's will. Everlasting life. God has the power to give everlasting life because He is everlasting. He is eternal. That's the great thing about the resurrection of Jesus. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have security, we have certainty, knowing that He is everlasting. He has power over death. If the Savior stayed in the grave and is still in the grave today, how on earth would we know that we have everlasting life? How would we know that He has victory over death? That there is resurrection? We wouldn't. He would be dead like you and like me. But He wanted to demonstrate and to show very clearly He is the Everlasting Father. And He did that by raising from the dead again. And it was seen by so many witnesses. It was evident. The only prophet, the only religious leader to raise from the dead. Wonderful. His name's the reason for my praise. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, but also, number five, He is the Prince of Peace. His name is the reservoir for my peace. Prince Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor may be the Prince of Wales, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace forever. The name literally means the Prince who comes, whose coming brings peace. The Prince whose coming brings peace. It's one of the deepest needs of our hearts, the deepest needs of the human heart. And I want you to know true peace is only found in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. In the past, His death made peace with God on the cross. In the present, those who receive Christ will find His peace also in their hearts. In the future, His second coming will usher in a 1,000-year reign of peace. And all of eternity of peace. Jesus Christ is the ultimate and final peacemaker. Sometimes on tombstones you read the words R.I.P. What does that mean? Rest in peace. That's inscribed into the tombstone. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, does not just want us to rest in peace when we're dead. He would have us to rest in peace each day and every day that He gives us life here on earth. The Prince of Peace. The world needs peace. Many people see the wars going on around the world and they say, if God is a God of peace, if He's the Prince of Peace, how does this happen? Good question. You're pointing the wrong direction, though. It's not the Prince of Peace's fault. It's mankind. Our sin. We have allowed the sin. We have rebelled against God. We are the ones that have said there is no God. We're going to do things our way. We know better ever since Adam and even the Garden of Eden. We failed. Our sin. You want to look around at the killing and at the wars? Then say, God, look what my sin has done. Look what our sin has done in the world. Isn't it terrible? Isn't it disgusting? Isn't it awful? It's my sin. But don't you point your finger at the Prince of Peace and say, God, how could you do this? We need peace in our hearts, but few people have peace in their hearts. We need peace with God. Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your trust today? Are you trusting in the Prince of Peace? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. You may be a good person, but we've all sinned still. You may be a wonderful human being, a caring human being, a human being that puts other people first, and that's a good thing. But the Bible still says we all have sinned. We all need peace with God. So I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm not asking you if you attend a church. You're here, so I know you're attending a church. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't make you right with the Prince of Peace. It doesn't do it. You need to make your own personal decision. You need to make a decision this morning. Are you going to make a decision? What better time than just before Christmas when you can really celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace in your heart because you have Him in your heart? As we close, I want us, in Isaiah 9:6, one of the most important parts of the passage in Isaiah 9:6 is that first part that says, "For unto you." For unto you is born. Why is that important? Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. He did it for us. He did it for you. God has a Christmas gift for you and for me. And it's just what you've always wanted. You ever got a gift that you really didn't care for? And you try to smile and say, thank you. This is a gift that you've always wanted. Peace with God. Eternal life. God has a Christmas gift. You will not find it wrapped in shiny paper under a sparkling Christmas tree. Rather, He sent the gift wrapped in burial clothes under a shining star 2,000 years ago. Have you received that gift? It's a gift, but like all gifts, what do you have to do? Receive it. Take it. He's not going to shove the gift down your throat. He's saying, here is my gift. I will not turn away anybody who comes to me. Here's my gift. Will you receive it? What are you saying to God in return? It's not good enough. It's not quite what I wanted. receive God's gift today. What do these names mean to you? Wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Will you receive Him? Let's stand together. Christians, the invitation is going to be open for you to spend time in your hearts worshiping the Lord, worshiping God, and saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank Him for each of these names. Go through them in your mind and say, God, thank you that you are wonderful. You are full of wonder. Thank you for being the Counselor. You have the answer to my needs. Thank you that you are the mighty God. Thank you, God. You're the everlasting Father. Thank you that you're the Prince of Peace. But some of you in here right now, you've never taken that to heart. You've never received the free gift. You've held God off. Maybe you've done Him lip service. Maybe you've gone through all the motions of being a Christian. You've said the right things. You've sung the songs and you've given some money and you've gone to church. But you've never received the gift. That is something that you must do. It's a conscious decision on your part. It's a free gift. Don't try to add to it by saying, okay, God, I'll receive your gift, but I need to give you this. That's not a gift. That's an exchange. That's trading. This is a gift of God. And He wants you to receive it freely, without strings, without anything attached. But it's up to you. Father, I pray that you will move us. Move our hearts. As Christians, Lord, bring us to our knees in worship. Bring us to our knees in adoration as we are reminded of these names and what they mean for us and to us. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who has not received your gift, the free gift, eternal life, everlasting peace. I pray that today, Lord, would be that day. Help them to take a step in response, to come, to have a time of prayer, to talk to me or one of the men or women of the church and say, I want to receive the gift today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come now? Everybody keep your head bowed and eyes closed. Let's make this private. And I invite you to respond now. Christian, non-Christian, it doesn't matter. I want you to respond. Is God speaking to your heart? Is He calling you? If you want to receive Christ today, just step out where you are. Come and take me by the hand and just whisper in my ear, Pastor Ken, I want to receive that gift today. And I'll have someone have a brief time with you with the Word and have a prayer with you. And you can leave here today with that gift. But you need to take the step. You need to respond. Will you do that? Will you come? Will you come? God has given you a gift. Why don't you give Him a gift right now? A gift of your life. A gift of you. Don't wait for a better time. There's not going to be a better time. Take care of this today. Thank you. loves you. He loves you. The music's playing in the background. I hate to close an invitation time. If someone is fighting with God and fighting the Holy Spirit, is God calling you? God is reaching out. He's calling you. Receive my gift of eternal life. Receive my gift of peace, of reconciliation, redemption. But you got to receive it. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for all that He has done for us, for all that He's done for me. Lord, the work that you've done in my life, I can't thank you enough. The eternal life that you've given, I cannot thank you enough. Help us as Christians, Lord, to be aware and to be continually in praise to you for this. I pray for anybody here who has not yet made that step of faith, not received the gift. Don't let them leave here today without settling this in their hearts and in their lives. Help them to have courage to talk to myself or one of the deacons of our church and say, "Can I talk to you about this? Can I talk about this?" In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song.